Blog Talk Radio.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Playing used to rally downtown in my city. And you wonder why the race relationship so shitty? Show no pity. That's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city. It's all over the TV. Martin Luther King. I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit. But the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame. And never take no wooden nickels when they all change. Homie, I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture. Picture, picture, picture. I hope you see the big picture. Picture, picture, picture. I hope you see
they say a picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the tech nine and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches. But why you in the club with some trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick. But it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Breeze told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunnin'. Homie, I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture. Picture, picture, picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
All right. Welcome to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is the Big Picture. And I am Melvin Siri Jr. I'm kind of going to rant tonight, and I'm going to ease into this show. I'm going to ease into it for one in particular reason. I want us to understand what we are up against. And I want us to understand that we have not only got to prepare ourselves, but we've got to prepare our children. And I'm going to discuss a few cases. Right now, I'm going to set the table for my topic, because tonight, before I get started, I want to welcome everyone. I consider you family, and you all know I love y'all. I thank y'all for supporting, because I'm only a messenger, and I am only here to get the word out. I'm falling into my purpose. So I want to welcome you family, and as I always say, in greeting, peace, power, and love. This topic tonight is serious to me. I want to welcome everybody, my Activate Media Radio family out of Boston, where this show will one of the two shows that I'm doing this week will replay, but you always get the replay that on Activate Media, Activate Radio out of Boston, Mass. I appreciate Patrick as always for bringing me into the family. I'm only one man just trying to make a change. I want to thank everybody that listens from out of the Philippines, Ireland, Germany, Nigeria, all my brothers and sisters there, Canada, and here in the States as well. I appreciate your support, and I really don't check the stats much because that's not what I'm interested in. But when I do, I just like to recognize those who take the time to listen to my voice, because I'm just trying to make things right, and especially make our situation, if not right, at least the best that we can get it. And we can definitely get it in a better condition and in better shape than it is right now. What really led me to do this show tonight is I have children, grown children. I have one son who's 13, who's going to have to, both of them really are going to have to come up and through this cruel and unusual punishment. I'm just going to call it what it is. You may hear an explicit here and there. Sometimes y'all know I get a little excited and I may throw in a here or there, but I definitely am going to set the table tonight, and I'm going to keep it very real, because I feel like sometimes we sugarcoat things and it leads us all to believe that things are not as they seem, and we need to have our children understanding and they really need to understand. They really need to have the truth of the matter. And also, before I dig on into this, those who are listening online and may want to call in, be a part of the conversation, the call-in number is 914-205-5538. Again, that's 914-205-5538. Okay, and that's all the, I believe I've covered all of the all the necessary things right now, for now. But back to what I was saying, we have got to really give our kids the unadulterated truth. And let me say that again so that the ones in the back that didn't hear me might can hear me. We have got to start giving our children, our youth, the unadulterated truth of the matter. Because at this particular time in this country and this time in history, things are not favorable for black people, and that does not exclude our children. Our children are definitely in the crosshairs. I was online a little bit earlier, and I saw one of the queens had posted something on her page, and me being the curious person that I am, and I Googled it, and the story involves an 8-year-old girl whose name is Fanta Billity, Bilility, I don't know. I don't want to tear up her last name, but may the young princess rest in peace. She was murdered. And let me set another little scenario, too, before I go into this. When the police were put into place in this country, they were put into place for one reason and one reason only. And I want this to be clearly understood. They were put in place to wrangle property. They were put in place to hunt down property, to keep property in line. If property thought that it could escape or get away, well, these slave catchers would go and retrieve them. So that is where the organization of policing began. And let us remember that. Always remember that. And I'm sure that most people know that, but some may not. But here in this country, that is what that is what we now have policing, not for, but pretty much the same. But that is where it derives from. So now fast forward to the Fantability case. And I have saw, I'm going to be honest. I read so much and I try to keep up with the shootings. I try to keep up with things. And sometimes I overlook some things. And sometimes I take a break because it is tolling on the mind to constantly just intake bad news. It takes a toll on you mentally and spiritually. It takes a toll on you in a lot of ways, and especially when you have children who are now, I won't say being targeted, but these punk police, matter of fact, let me give you their names and their ages. And I'm reading this update is from off of NPR. It was updated January 21st of this year. The actual shooting happened back in August of 2021, I believe it was. So we have officers Devin Smith, who's 33, Sean Dolan, who is 25, Brian Devaney, 41. All of these, this incident happened outside of a football game near Philadelphia. So the police are now, just let me read a little bit of the article. City officials have voted to fire the three police officers charged with manslaughter in the August death of 8-year-old Fantability, who was fatally shot outside of a high school football game near Philadelphia. And let me just take you to the incident. They say they don't really, and I only pulled up this particular article because it crossed my mind, and I only read this one particular article. There were several different articles covering this particular shooting. And it goes on to say, after a two-month-long grand jury investigation led to the filing of criminal charges against Smith, Dolan, and Devaney, who unleashed a hail of bullets at a car amid crowds of people. And that is what bothers me. They have been charged with 12 counts of manslaughter and reckless endangerment, which is good, but I am to a point with these overpaid killers. I'm to a point with these murderous, bloodthirsty cops, these shoot first, ask questions later. And mind you, like I say, let me go on down into the article. It says that the district attorney, you know, Jack Stahlsteimer, said that police have to be held accountable as everybody else when it comes to deadly force. Okay, that's a gimme. And I've said this numerous times because I'm a driver. I drive for a living, trucks, 18-wheelers, been doing it for a little over 20 years. And even in my personal vehicle, if I get stopped and I'm a CDL holder, I'm held at a higher standard because I'm considered a professional driver. That's what I do all day, every day. And when I'm ticketed at a higher rate. So, you know, they hold everybody accountable except themselves. And them, you know, let's just be real. Policemen, being the ones who uphold the law out here, should be held at a higher standard. And when they mess up, there should really be not a lot of questions to be asked or answered. And there should be quick, swift, and held at a higher accountability than just a normal person who's not a cop or in the legal field. That's anybody who's in the legal field. But we in this country are governed by a bunch of crooks who are going to cover for one another and are not really worried about the outcome or the citizen. And especially when it comes to our children. Now, this is another situation where we are losing children. And these, and I brought this point up the other day. When you lose one child, that's a whole lineage. That's her babies and the babies that her babies would have had. So that's what we lose. I want y'all to think about that. Keep that in your mind as well, because that is what we lose every time they gun one of our young men, young women, young children down. And that is something that has started happening more and more. And it's getting to a point where I'm just tired of the double standard. And I feel like it is time that we weaponize our children, like I say, mentally, spiritually, and yes, physically as well. And I'm going to give you my reasoning behind all of that. There's another case that I ran across with a young man, and I'm pretty sure that you have all, this video has been floating around on YouTube and I'm sure on Facebook and other social media platforms as well, but I caught it on, I believe it was when I was on YouTube the other day. In this case, comes out of Rialto, California. And this just happened I'm looking, I got this information from the Los Angeles Times. Rialto police apologized to a teenage girl's family after violent arrest is caught on video. And I'm going to say one more thing. You know, I'm so glad now that technology has allowed video to be so prevalent now, because honestly, without video, a lot of the things that we know, we wouldn't know. We know as black people, but the world wouldn't see, wouldn't know. And that is what is, I'm not going to say changing the system, but it is bringing bringing it to the forefront. And people are more aware of it now. And now it's not just our words saying things, because when we were telling the world about how police really are, nobody wanted to believe it. It was one of those things where we're always overreacting, get over it, it's not that bad. And, yeah, it's not that bad when it's not happening to you. But with the advent, like I say, of the telephones, and especially when they put the cameras on them, that was so magnificent for us because it let the world see it. And in this case, out of Rialto, there was a 16. I saw this video and it enraged me. It made me think of the incident that happened here in McKinney, little suburb north of Dallas. And when the young girl was thrown to the ground, they were at a swimming party or whatever, but the punk runs in and grabs the young girl and slams her to the ground and pulls her arm behind the back. And you know how they try to do. They try to put your palm on the back of your head. I think that's what's wrong with my shoulder now, truth be told. But I digress. But this 16-year-old girl, I saw this video and they ran up behind her and slammed her to the ground. And then this punk-ass cop started choking her. So these are the types of things that literally enrage me to the point of I am ready. Because I am ready for it to stop, and I am ready to do whatever I can do in my power to make it stop. Because, ooh, y'all forbid one of them puts their hands on my child like that, they will see me. And it will take every bit of the spirit of y'all to hold me back and make me do the right thing. Because, see, my child is not an example nor a play toy. Now, nobody's children are perfect, but nobody's child deserves death and mistreatment either. So that is my driving force. And I'm tired of seeing our children and our women as well suffer the way that we suffer at the hands of these punk-ass cops. Yeah, I'm going to keep saying it just like that, because that's what that is. That's just a coward spirit. You know, what kind of full-grown man throws a 16-year-old 90-pound girl to the ground and then chokes her? And we saw this numerous times. We all remember the footage of the cop that came in the classroom and drug the black girl out of her desk, slung the desk and her across the room, and then manhandled her. I'm so sick of seeing that. Tamir Rice, a child, literally, a 12-year-old mind outside playing with an air gun, and these punk-ass coward cops pull up and in less than 2 seconds shoot him dead. See, I'm tired of seeing that. I'm tired, and this young girl, they haven't released her name, and I hope because they don't ever release them white kids' names. And then, too, I want y'all to understand that they don't think we feel pain, and they don't look at our children as children. They look at our children as aggressive animals, as people that need to be detained. They look at our children much like they look at us. They don't see a child when they look at our children. And that's why I always say that we need our own schools, our own everything, so that we can pull ourselves out of their systems, away from them, and away from the mistreatment. So that is just another one of the cases. And then I know you all may have talked. And see, this just goes to what I was saying. They don't see our children as children. They see our children as, like I say, much like they see us, a threat, you know. So those are just two cases, you know, and unfortunately, rest in peace to the young princess that lost her life up in Pennsylvania to the hands of those coward cops. You know, I mean, you are armed to a T, and the first thing that you want to do is pull your weapon and shoot. And especially when it comes to us, we've saw so many occasions where white children, white gunmen have walked away alive, you know, to have their day in court, where we are always gunned down and then vilified on top of that. So we will see. It doesn't mention the officer's name either that choked this girl, and it was two officers, but one in particular that, you know, was the aggressive one. They don't know or even try to practice de-escalation when it comes to our people. Understand that. And this system, from the White House to the courthouse, this Department of Justice, gives less than a damn. Kamala Harris, Miss Chucks and Pearls, gives less than a damn about black people. She uses her, look at, she uses her black card when it is convenient or when they need her, I'm about to say it, her nigga ass to do something to keep us under control. You don't see her mixing and mingling amongst us now, but a year and a half ago when they needed us, her and Jim Crow Joe both, you know, because this keeps happening to us, but we can't get type of legislation passed to make it stop. And then even if there is legislation passed, they're not going to go out of their way to truly enforce it. They don't even go out of their way now to enforce justice for all and equal treatment. This government can step in and do something about how these punk-ass coward cops keep killing us, and especially our future, our children. So here we go. Just to make my point with the just the whole system, and I'm not just talking about America. When I say this, I mean I'm talking about this whole globe is the system. And really, pretty much, if you white, you right. If you white, you right. You can just do what you want to do. The double standard is real, and we see the double standard in these two cases. You don't see them tackling white kids. And then they'll take a white kid that go in a church and shoot dead 9, 10, you know, people, and they'll take his stank ass to Burger King before they take him to jail. Now, let Pookie, Ray Ray, or Jamal walk into a white church and shoot 9 white people. Boy, Pookie or Jamal will be dead in there with them people. And we all know that. But that is why it is time for us to weaponize our children mentally, spiritually, and yes, physically as well. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. If we don't get ready to defend ourselves, we're going to be extinct. We need to know this. Our children need to know this. And then our children need to know how to work. We're going to get all off into that. We're going to get into this tonight. Just another example of this system, and it's how it's connected globally. You all remember when Sha'Carri Richardson, who was highly favored in the Olympics, the Summer Olympics in Tokyo last year, and she tested positive for marijuana. You know, her mother, the young lady had been going through a lot. I'm not going to say that smoking marijuana was the answer, and definitely in her position, it was not the answer, but that's beside the point. She's young. Young people make mistakes. Grown people make mistakes. So that being said, so I know that we have all heard about the situation with the Russian girl who has the complexion for the protection, 15 years old. She's I think figure skater. And she tested positive also for some of the anti-doping drugs that the Olympics, you know, have banned. But the difference is that she will still be able to compete. And if y'all can think back to Michael Phelps, when he tested positive, if you didn't hear all the uproar that you heard about him like you did when Sha'Carri Richardson tested positive, and how we're treated and how we're our children and ourselves, that difference that's made. That we're a threat that they always throw on us, that they always label us as such a threat. We're such a threat. No. And history tells that story well. And I just bought that particular story up just because, you know, it's global. It's truly global. This system of treat people who are darker in hue is not just in America. That's everywhere, and this whole globe takes advantage of that. You know, no matter where you're at, and that's why I say we've got to get our children mentally prepared first. That's why I put mental first, because we've got to get them unlearned from everything they have learned, because this education that they're giving us now is really, that they're giving these children now, is the pipeline to prison scenario is not just a slogan. It is a practice. And I don't like, I was telling some brothers, this was a few months back, but I was like, just check out the schools now. Now, I can remember back when we went to high school, yeah, we had a security guard, but he didn't have nothing but a whistle. You know, and if something was going down, the police may be called, but 9 times out of 10, nothing that dramatic was happening. But now on pretty much every school you go to, on every high school campus, even elementary, there are armed police officers. So that mentally shocks a kid, you know, and especially if you are not under their umbrella of protection, which our children are not under their protect and serve mentality. So we all should know and understand that as well. The last story that I'm going to discuss, and then I'm going to take a quick break, and I've got a few callers on, and I am going to briefly go ahead and set the table, and then I'll be ready to open up microphones after I say a few more words. Just about what I want to talk about and what I really want to dig into and what I want to be understood by us as black men and women in this country, and how we have got to get out. We've got to get our children on the same mindset. And when I say weaponize, I'm not necessarily talking about arming up, but that is a part of it. And I'm going to touch on that too. But I want to bring this last story to light. This story I got, and the story that I provided about Sha'Carri Richardson, I got that out of the New York Post, as well as this story that came out of New Jersey. No, New Jersey police under fire after cuffing a black teen in the mall. Fight as white teen watches. And I know that, you know, I saw this video on YouTube as well, and I'm sure that most of you have saw this video as well, but I'll just give you the scenario, because, you know, young kids, teenagers, they're going to argue, fight, they're going to, you know, it's just part of growing up, really. That's what it is. So what we have here in New Jersey, let's see, Bridgewater Commons, and this fight happened over the weekend. This was also, you know, just a couple of few days ago. And like I say, in the video, you see them standing nose to nose, and they're arguing back and forth like teenage boys do. And then the Caucasian boy puts his finger in the young brother's face, and the young brother, you know, pushes his finger out of his face. The white kid pushes him, and then the black kid starts swinging, and they're fighting, and they follow him to a couch. And you can see the police coming in the background. But what did they do? They snatched the, because when they got there, I don't know if y'all saw the video, but when they got to the actual, you know, vicinity and were able to physically separate them, well, they grabbed the white boy because he was on top. He was actually the aggressor at the time, and they swung him, they pulled him off, and then one of the male cop proceeded to tackle this young black male to the floor and pin him down, while the female officer sets the white kid on the couch, on the same couch they fell on. And then she goes back over and puts her knee in the back and the shoulder of the young black kid. Nobody's watching the white kid. He's just sitting there watching them tackle and handcuff the black kid. And the white kid was the aggressor in the fight. The white kid put his finger in his face. Then the white kid pushed him. And then the fight was on. The punk-ass coward cops, ignoring that. And I'm very interested to know what is going to come of this, because the young brother was only 14 years old, and he was not resisting. So there was really no reason, and just you can pull this video up. There was no reason for the female cop to go back over and assist by putting her knee into the young brother's shoulder like she did. And just another case of the double standard and the complexion for the protection. And that is what pisses me off the most. So that is all I have to read. I say I'm going to take a quick break. I see I got two people ready to speak. I got 5396, I'm going to bring you in just as soon as I take this quick break. I appreciate y'all's patience with me. Y'all know I like to really take my time and get that opening commentary out and set the table. But my topic is the need to weaponize our children mentally, spiritually, and physically. And I'm going to take a real quick break so I can get back and we can get into this. I appreciate y'all who are listening online. If you are listening online right now, call in numbers 914-205-5538. This is the Panther Party Radio Network, and I'm Melvin Siri Jr., and this is The Big Picture. We'll be right back after this 2.5-minute break.
In order for you and me to devise some kind of method or strategy to offset some of the events or a repetition of the events that have taken place here in Los Angeles recently, we have to go to the root. We have to go to the cause. Dealing with the condition itself is not enough, and it is because of our effort toward getting straight to the root that people oftentimes think we are dealing in hate.
We are oppressed. We are exploited. We are downtrodden. We are denied not only civil rights, but even human rights. So the only way we're going to get some of this oppression and exploitation away from us or aside from us is come together against a common enemy. Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin to such extent that you bleach to get like the white man? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? Who taught you to hate your own kind? Who taught you to hate the race that you belong to? So much so that you don't want to be around each other. No, before you come asking Mr. Muhammad, does he teach hate, you should ask yourself, who taught you to hate being what God gave you? And I, for one, as a Muslim, believe that the white man is intelligent enough. If he were made to realize how black people really feel and how fed up we are without that old compromising sweet talk. Stop sweet talking it. Tell him how you feel. Tell him how, what kind of hell you've been catching, and let him know that if he's not ready to clean his house up, if he's not ready to clean his house up, he shouldn't have a house. It should catch on fire and burn down.
All right. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Panther Party Radio Network and the Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. I am about to open up microphone number 5396, and then I see my brother Mark as well on, and I'm gonna open your mic up to Mark, and just ask that you mute it until 5396 finishes. 5396, you are live.
And hey, for the Melvin, how's it going?
Welcome. I'm good. How are you?
All right, it's Sister Kia.
All right, yeah, been a while since
yeah.
I saw that number, and I was wondering, I thought that was you.
I know it.
How have you been, sister?
Oh, I've been hanging in there, staying busy, that's for
Alrighty.
Sure.
Right.
How about
well,
you?
I'm hanging in there, sister. You know, I'm trying to maintain and keep things happening the way they're supposed to be happening. You know, I decided to jump on here tonight, and I thought about you when I was doing this, making this banner earlier today, and I said, let me send her a message, and I meant to do a lot of stuff, and I last minute sent a lot of messages out because I was kind of on some business stuff today, but I'm glad that you could join me. Like I say, it's good to hear you. I like to hear from my folks every now and then, you know, and just hear their voices and let you know that everything is all right, you know.
Right.
But wanted you to be a part of this conversation because I know you got some fire to bring. And I know you probably got a lot to say about it because I know how tough it, and I mean not just in your neck of the woods around the New Orleans and Baton Rouge, but I mean in most cities, because here in Dallas, it's getting ridiculous with how out of control our children are becoming. And that's why I wanted to do this show, just to really talk about weaponizing our children mentally, first of all. And I want to talk about that particular aspect, and I'm going to be quiet, and I'm going to let you have the floor, Sister Kia, and just give me your thoughts on mentally, you know, preparing our children for the real world, you know.
Okay. Well, yeah, my first thought on it, and me and a friend was just having this conversation. I honestly feel like we are, a lot of us in our generation are failing our youth simply because we're not educating them. You know, nobody really educated us either. Everything I learned about the truth about me and who I am and, you know, really what's going on in the world and how people feel about me, I learned as an adult by reading, by researching, by, you know, by digging in and, you know, wanting to feed myself. I really think first and foremost, our youth should start being educated on really who they are and what they come from, because the image painted to me, I mean, well into my adulthood, you know, I always felt like when Africans came from Africa, when Africans were kidnapped out of Africa and brought to what is now America, I always thought they were just poor people, you know, like, you know, knew nothing, did nothing, because that's what the school system gives you. That's what the school system feeds you. So it wasn't until I became an adult that I realized, man, these people, this was a civilization of people who were running their own country, who had their own things going, kings, queens, well-to-do people, doctors. You know, you had all kind of, or they didn't call them doctors back then, whatever they called them back in the day, healers, you know.
Right.
These were people. These were people above any people, in my opinion. You know what I mean? And still to this day, because we tend to be so resilient and do things that others can't do, or, you know, can't do as well. I'll put it that way. We tend to, and, you know, we tend to just excel in everything that we put our mind and foot to doing. So I feel like a lot of these kids are getting failed in that area, even though we did too. I always say this. I don't know what it is. I don't know. But these kids today are not like we were. You know what I mean? So it takes some extra pushing. You're going to have to start feeding and showing them, you know, and I feel like that was the whole purpose in us learning, so that we can start passing it down to them. And I feel like once a person knows and understands who they are, because a lot of times these kids get in trouble. Think about a child who's a bully and who just go around doing stuff and getting in trouble. It's because there's something going on with that child. You know what I mean? There's something going on, and people should get to the root of it. A lot of times it's just simply their self-esteem, for whatever reason or whatever has occurred to make the child feel a certain way. Now they're acting out physically. They're acting out, you know, emotionally. They can throw in fits, getting in trouble, getting in fights. So, I think if we start to help them understand exactly who they are, they can start from there. You know what I mean? We give them what they need to feed them. So I think that's the first step in mentally preparing them for what they're dealing with, because I let my nieces and nephews know, and it's because of who you are. These people are terrified of you.
That's right.
You know, I explain that to them. You know what I mean? It's because of exactly who you are. See, you don't know, but they know exactly who you are, and it terrifies them. It terrifies them so much that they, it terrifies them so much. I'm sorry, somebody's texting me, and I'm trying to stop the noise because it's so loud in my ear. But it terrifies them so much. They see you as such a threat that, you know, their initial instinct is to eliminate you. You know, they're just trying to get understanding.
I mean, that's the sad thing.
So I was watching a video, brother, and it was a tiger had gotten loose roaming through the neighborhood. And I watched this officer, this was just a couple days ago, I watched this officer, I mean, probably less than a good 15 feet from the thing, trying to sedate him, calm, you know, trying to do all he can to keep from killing this dang on tiger. Now, here you have a beast that's probably 1,000 pounds or more that could rip your head off. I mean, one bite, you are dead. And you know for your knowing this is deadly. You know what you're dealing with.
Oh, yeah.
And you're doing everything in your power not to kill it.
Yeah.
That's
but then, too.
You know,
oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, and then, you know, like I was saying earlier, you know, their job derives from slave catchers, you know, so not much really has changed in how they behave.
Nothing at all. Not from when the first roundup team was put together to capture runaway slaves. Has nothing changed.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And my beef is, I'm not going to say all, but I see a lot of videos surfing also of black officers being so out of order with black children and black people. I mean, I don't know if it stems from you have something to prove. You know what I mean? You have something to prove to the people. Like, I don't know. I have a local officer like that. That man, he black as the tar freshly put down for paving. And he cannot stand black people. His sole mission is to... If it's him and a whole heap of white boys pull somebody over, because over here they dramatic. One traffic stop, you'll have five police cars. You know what I mean? And out of all these police, you the only one barking and acting super tough in front of these white people. And
like
I knew him on a personal
black
level.
Police showing out for the white cop, you know, and then that's that mentality of, let me do this so that they'll know I'm one of the boys, you know.
But check this out. All of that, and they showed you quickly. And, I mean, he's been on the force a long time. He was a narcotic cop. They showed you quickly how much of one of them you are not when they kicked in your door and bumped you down because you had a personal stash of crack cocaine that you smoked. You know what I mean? So here you are now working as a security guard at the casino. You know, like, so I'm just like, you doing all this extraness to prove yourself worthy to them, and I don't care what you do and what color you wear, to them you still just a Negro.
Exactly. That's the whole point.
As far as, you know, we can't even tell our children that if you see a face that looks like you as a police officer, that's your safe haven, because it's not. I think, you know, we just have to educate them on. I mean, they see it. These kids are on tablets and phones more than we are, so they see what's going on in the world. You know what I mean? And it's a shame, like you said, I hate that our children have to live by a separate set of rules. My child should not have to go through this extreme measures and have a list of things to remember to prevent you from shooting and killing. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like we can prepare them all we want, but at the same time, until it's something done on that end, they're never safe. We can prepare them. They can do everything right. Because, like, the situation you were talking about with the boys, just to kind of add a little bit to that, watching, just looking online, you got a lot of white people chiming in saying, oh, he's not white, he's Latino. From visual, you couldn't tell that. They didn't know that, you know.
He had the complexion for the protection, though.
Right, that's right. So it's me with that he's not white, trying to say it wasn't about racism. Yes, it was. Another thing, a couple of things I noticed about that video is, while the first officer, the kid of color was already on the ground when they came, when they made it to the altercation and pulled the white boy off, he was already on the ground. So, you know, it's not like he was standing up and you had to, he was already on the ground. While they both were handcuffed.
And he didn't resist at all.
No, not at all. So once the female officer came and placed in his shoulder blade, the white kid went from sitting down to standing up within feet of them watching. He wasn't even sitting down anymore.
Just
how do you know he didn't have a weapon?
Exactly.
How do you know he didn't have a weapon? You know, so you didn't pat him down, you didn't check him for a weapon, you didn't tell him to lay down on the ground, put his hands behind his back, none of that. And when they got done, the white boy put his hands out to be handcuffed, and she was like, no. Did you catch that? He stuck his hands out like he was about to be handcuffed.
I didn't catch that. I'm going to have to go back. I'm going to have to go back and watch that.
I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm definitely.
Yeah, at the very end,
you
he stuck
said
his arms
something,
out like he was.
You said something earlier that piqued my interest. And then I want to bring my brother, you know, Mark. Bring him in.
Uh-huh.
And then 3736, I see you. And thank you for being patient. I'm going to bring you on as soon as I get my brother Mark in. But you said something, and I kind of want to bring Mark in on this particular subject as well. And we, you know, y'all know how we do. We dialogue, and we try not to step on one another. So just be, you know, respectful of one another as we're speaking.
Right.
And I'm not trying to cut you off, kid, but you know how we do.
Go ahead.
What you said earlier about it's our responsibility and it's our fault. And I talked about that on my Monday's podcast briefly. Because, yeah, it is our fault that our children don't know more than or are not as prepared as they should be. But like you said, too, you know, we also – mentally, on the mental, and then next we'll talk about the spiritual side of it, and then I got the physical side will be the last part that we touch on. We still got an hour to go, but yeah, on the mental aspect, yeah, we have really got, and that kid, thank goodness, somebody you could tell had talked to him. Because of the way he acted. When he saw that it was police, he immediately stopped fighting and complied. I'm not really with the comply thing, because compliance has gotten us killed and our children killed as well, and even not even having an opportunity to comply, like Tamir Rice, you know, just pulling up gunning us down. Like, you know, they like honey. They and then, like I said earlier, they don't look at our children as children like we do. They look at our children as a threat, just like they look at us as a threat. You know, they see a small body, but they see an animal when they see our children.
Right.
They don't see a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old or a 16-year-old, you know. Just remember, you know, just think back to the Central Park Five case, you know, and all of those were children. Those were young boys, teenage boys, you know, yet and still they were considered men. And not only that, white people got in on that bandwagon, and we became super predators and every damn thing else that they could think to call us, you know. Like I say, it's just that syndrome of that we're nobody, not even our children. And Brother Mark, I'm going to be quiet and let you unmute, and I want to get your opinion on you know, weaponizing the mind, the mentality, because I'm just affirming, you know, when the mind has been overtaken, you can get the body to do anything. The body is going to do exactly what the mind tells it to do, and if the mind is programmed against itself, you know, is detrimental, and that's really what's happening. So thank you, Brother Mark, for calling in, and welcome. And I'm going to be quiet so you can give me your spiel, and then I'm going to open you up 3736 after my Brother Mark gives his take on the mental aspect of this.
Peace, brother. Peace, this is the brothers.
Peace, brother.
Thank you for taking
Peace,
my
brother.
Call. Brother Melvin, you know, I'm always honored to talk and to gain knowledge and to contribute to the dialogue. If I could, before I answer or give you my summation on what you asked me in particular a second ago, I want to piggyback on what Sister Kia. Excuse me. I wanted to piggyback on something that Sister Kia pointed out earlier that I thought was pretty significant, in which she said that you know, these kids ain't like we were, and that, you know, with that said, Sister, I agree 100%, and I believe my theory is, the kids these days are so have been exposed to so much. They've been bombarded with so much information that no child has any business having. They've been exposed, and with that exposure, it desensitized them. When we were coming up, I don't know how old you are, Sister, but I'm closer to 60 than 50, all right? So when we were coming up, the most blood that we saw on TV and the movies was, you know, when Dracula was biting somebody's neck, or Blackula for that matter, because I saw that when that was new. Or something on television, you know, somebody getting punched in the face and you saw the fake blood, you knew it was fake blood. That was the most blood fake blood when somebody got shot in one of the cop shows. But that was the most blood and gore that we saw, you know, unless it was a horror movie, you know. But we weren't bombarded as much as these kids are today with so much information, with so much blood and gore. So therefore, now they're so desensitized, and the value of life is so... meaningless because that's what they've been exposed to, and that's what they see. So I just want to offer my theory on that and what you pointed out, Sister, in regards to children not being the way kids ain't the same, aren't raised the way we were. And also, with that said, there's no the measure of ethics and morals and fucking dignity. You know, you don't see that in the kids, or for that matter, any measure of respect. And again, that's what they see, and I'm not blaming anyone per se, but I will reference that Ronald Reagan song by Kendrick Lamar, and I'll say less, because of that generation. The mental aspect, Melvin, as you were asking about. I think that's all part of it. Again, the their psyche being so desensitized from all the exposure of all the negativity and just, you know, blood and lifeless and the thrill of death, you know, that's it. You know, the eagerness to die. You know, the glory of living a short life and burning out. You know, being a shooting star, if you will, that mentality. I think that has a lot to do with it. And another thing I want to touch on in that concern is what you pointed out earlier, Melvin, is the spirituality aspect. And
that's the next one. Hold on. Save it.
I raised my children to be observant, to be aware of their inner, you know, to their core, to listen to their first mind and listen to their gut feeling, because it's there for a fucking reason. And when you know that something's not right, you know, you head the opposite way. You do the right thing. So instilling that. And, you know, of making your children aware of their spirituality in that aspect is something that we need to continue to focus on. Because I know that's how I raised my kids. And then also with you talking about earlier how we have to talk to our children. You know, black folks got to raise their children a little different. You know, we don't have to have – we have to have the talk. But it ain't the talk about the birds and the bees. We have to have the talk with our boys and girls, particularly our boys, about dealing with police or dealing with any kind of authority figure, not making hasty or false moves, you know, and talking too much and being disrespectful and things that we're the ones that have to have that talk, where, you know, white folks don't have to have that talk with kids like we do.
Exactly.
And you're talking earlier about kids being targets. You know, our children are the targets. We're the targets. Our children are the targets. I mean, we're fair game, like you said. We're all fair game. Not only us, but our children. Even more so. Literally the target of rape, murder, miseducation, organized organ harvesting, incarceration, medical experimentation, and all kinds of shit like that. So, yes, they are.
And
our children are the biggest target.
Think of the lineages, you know, that are lost every time.
Mm-hmm.
Like just with the young sister, you know, 8 years old. I mean, think about that. She's damned 8 years old. She ain't here no more. So she don't even have a chance to get to fifth grade, middle school, high school, college. Or any other, and then, like I say, not only do they kill her, they kill her lineage. We don't know how many children that she was going to bless the world with, but nine times out of ten, she's going to bless. Exactly, they kill a whole lineage of, you know, future generations. And that's why I say we got to grab them mentally. And I mean, you and Kia making some very, very strong, valid points. I see I got another sister, and I want to let her in and give her, if she wants, she can give her because I want to get the mental aspect out of the way, and then I would like to get on to the spiritual aspect of it. Sister, your mic is open. If you like to comment on the mental aspect.
Is this is it me, Melvin?
Yes.
Hello? Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know. Okay, well.
Yeah, welcome, Sister
Queenie. Thank you very much. Got Brother Mark
and Sister Kia also chiming in. But, yeah, I just wanted to get your opinion of the mental aspect of it. And then I want to move on. I'm going to get Sister Kia and Brother Mark back in, and we can get on this. I want to say what I got to say about the spiritual aspect. It's not much, but go ahead, sister.
Well, I appreciate the sister and the brother for speaking out, and I think everyone is on one accord with, you know, what's going on, that our children are targeted, and we are the hunted. We are definitely the hunted. We definitely are the prey. And I'm really sick of it. I'm just really fed up with this. And it's like, I don't know. I didn't want to speak it because I'm really getting emotional about this stuff, about them hurting our children and keep on doing all this killing. And it's like nobody's out here stopping these people to, you know, what is it about us that we cannot rise up against these people and shut this stuff down? And, you know, like, no, enough is enough. Every day we turn around now, is somebody messing with our children, doing something about our children. I mean, my son, and I'm just going to tell my story. I might not be answering your question the way, but, you know, with the emotional, like you said, if you can get the mind, you can, you know, you can rule. In other words, if you break their spirit, you can control their mind. It was something like that on Roots. If you can get to the people, you can break them down, then you have complete control over them, mind, body, and spirit. And that's how we have been affected. We've been affected on all levels. And I think the sister mentioned that too a while ago when she was speaking, that we have been targeted, or the brother, either way it goes, we all saying the same thing. We have been targeted on every level. That's from our food. It messed with your mind. Certain type of chemicals that we ingest mess with your mind. The music is messing with your mind. The education is messing with your mind. The whole entire system is designed to keep us submissive, to oppress us and keep us submissive. Now they're coming after our children more than ever. Well, in what we see more than ever, because they have always come after us, even after slavery, in slavery, after slavery, in civil rights, after civil rights. We have never stopped being the target. And I think the young generation has always been targeted. It just didn't start with our children. It started with my grandmother's, and she's 94 years young. So it started with them. They was targeted then. Back then. So the general, they have always tried to block us and stop us. But my thing right now is we're living in this time and we're actually seeing this thing perpetuated. Well, I'm sick of it. I'm really tired of it. And I'm like, there's got to be something that we can do to stop this brutality and this murdering of our children. I have an 18-year-old son. If I tell you this child has been targeted, just driving down the road, you're going 5 miles or 3 miles over speed limit or whatever, you're going to get stopped. One day he got stopped, and we happened to go to the court. And I said, we fit to fight. We're going to fight this stuff. So the prosecutor didn't even want to hear what me and my child had to say. So happened to be the judge was there. She was the former prosecutor, and she was getting ready to be the judge. Well, you know what? She didn't like the way that man was treating her. So when we went down to get ready to pay for something, she said, I need y'all to come into my office. She said, I didn't like the way that was going, the way he shut y'all down, wouldn't let y'all talk anything. So she pulled up the deal on the she pulled up the video. just the way my son said that thing happened is the way it happened. The man was about a mile or so down the road, but he had documented his paperwork a mile up. When my son got past the 50-mile mark, the policeman was about 500-600 feet below the 50-yard mark, but he marked his paperwork as my son speeding through the town at 50 miles an hour when he couldn't do that anyway because there was construction there. So he falsified his documents. So she told us, y'all can get this footage and present it. Well, when the prosecutor got a hold to it and found out, I happened to be in Arizona on a vacation, he quit removed us from going to court and said that the policeman was going to be on vacation, that we needed to, It's called something, a deferred. Well, at the time, my son was like, but what happened to the court? What happened to the jury trial? Oh, well, the court, the man is not going to be there. Either way it go, I ended up paying money anyway. And I went into it and I was trying to fight it, but I realized,
excuse me,
y'all,
I think you're trying to say they wanted you to file a deposition. Speaking of deposition,
that's it. Exactly. But what ended up doing, y'all, what I ended up doing, because he did that and he didn't allow us to have our jury trial, I ended up paying. And I'm telling y'all the only reason why I paid, because of that black judge. I knew that something told me, go ahead and pay it, because she's the only one in here. And I was really in my heart thinking, I don't want this woman to catch any slack. Any flap, you know what I'm saying? Because no matter if she is the black judge, she can still, you know, they can still mess with her. So I went on and paid it because I was thinking about somebody else. And maybe I shouldn't have did, but I did because I was thinking about some. I said, let me just go ahead and pay it and to keep the fire from rising against her, because I felt like that the way that raised that man would, something would have happened. I don't know. It's just something was in my spirit. But all I'm saying is that this stuff has got to stop. And it's like, it doesn't matter what position you're in, like the young lady was saying a while ago, or my sister was saying a while ago, you still a nigga to them. It doesn't matter what position you hold, you still a nigga, you know. So anyway, I don't know. I'm just really fed up, and I'm really emotional about it because I'm really sick of it. They take all this minute stuff, use against our children, and set our children up, and it's like I don't know what to do. It's like, what is the solution? And I know that, you know, my children, you know, I work real hard with them, and they know their culture. They know who they are. They know what it is. But y'all, this world out here with all this music and all this stuff is getting into their heads and everything. We're fighting every day against something that is unseen. And it's like, we got to cut this thing off at the root. So my thing is, I love children. I work with children. But, y'all, what is the solution? Like, what is the solution? Like, I bust my butt every day working with children and working to try to get them in the right mindset. My children and other children, too. But I don't know. I mean, that's why I probably didn't want to talk, because right now this subject right here is too sensitive right now. Because I'd be one of them women that get a sword and I'm gonna go crazy. I'm that type of person. If I could do it, I would. Like you, it wouldn't pay me to be queen. I ain't gonna lie, it would not pay me to be queen, because I line up every one of them and have them beheaded. I'm just gonna tell you, I would really honestly do that. I would have every one of them sun guns who have messed with our people and who has that mentality against our people. I'm Yah Santiwa, the great queen warrior, all the way. You fit to get off this earth, period. I don't care if you black, white, green, or yellow. I'm serious. I'm the queen. If I'm the queen, I'm serious. I'm telling you, they got to go. because they done messed up too much. And I'm tired of having pity and petting these people and forgiving these people for all these murderers that they done to our people and everything. I'm sick of that. I wish the Queen Mother would come out of the sky, rise up from the ground and just and devour every one of them, just like the Bible says. They need to be devoured. Like, what is the solution? That's all I'm saying. And all this music, all this stuff need to be burnt up. Everything burnt down and burnt up, period. Like, let me stop. Okay, there we go.
Let me open up. I got another mic that I need to open up. And then I'm going to let her give her take on the mental aspect, and then when she's finished, I'm gonna jump into the, I want to say what I got to say about the spiritual aspect, and then I want to go back through the row again, and I'll start back over with Kia, and then go to Mark back down to you, Sister Queenie, and I'm opening up your mic now, 4823, and you can give me your take on the mental aspect, and when you're done, I want to, can you turn your TV down in the background, please? Somebody's TV up in the background, radio? Okay, Sister Kim. Your line is open, and yeah, give me your spiel on the mental aspect, and when you're done, I want to jump into the spiritual side of it.
Okay, I won't be long because my phone is telling me I don't have much of a charge. I got to get to the charger. So it's good that you're talking about the mental aspect of this because this is a mental game that we're in, and I'm going to say they haven't changed. They haven't changed one bit on how they're doing things and what they have done. This is what they've always done. However, what they have adjusted, so to speak, is the message. And it is a mental game. So you are absolutely, everybody's absolutely on point by recognizing the mind games. Because your subject matter was weaponizing our children. They have weaponized our children, but they're weaponizing them to work against us and against themselves. All of these videos, all of these attacks on our people and on our children, and all these videos floating, unfortunately, they're using that energy actually against us. Now, we got to speak up, and we got to talk about these things, but they're using that energy against us. And what I mean by that, like the gentleman earlier mentioned, you know, you got to have that talk, you know, with your children and especially the boys, but also our girls too. Well, when you have that talk, what happens is you're instilling more and more of what position you're in. And I think at some point, and especially when we had the so-called black president, somebody decided that we had gotten a little bit too uppity and a little bit out of our place. So now they're trying to send the messages to let us know that we need to get back in our places. That's what they're using this energy for. Now, how you fight against something like that, I don't know, but we just have to be careful on the psychological side because this is also a psychological warfare that we're involved in. They're steadily making sure that we see images of us being victimized and brutalized and all of that. So if we're going to fight against this, we got to also recognize that aspect of it as well. And I think that you are definitely on point and on the right track with weaponizing our children because we see what they're doing. We see what kind of weapons they're using them for. So we need to redirect that and use that weaponry as, you know, for our benefit. That's really all I had to say right now.
Okay. I appreciate that, Sister Kim. I agree with everyone as well. And yeah, I say that often because, you know, like right now, the situation that's going on in Russia and the Ukraine and then China as well. And, you know, I think about all our young black men and women who are most of them and go to the service so that they can get a start at life, you know, per se. And then, you know, you end up fighting a white man's war, putting your life on the line to still only be a second-class citizen. I want to jump in, and then I'm going to go back through the row. Kia was my first speaker. Then, Brother Mark, I want to get your take, and then Sister Queenie, and then Sister Kim, I want your take as well. And I'm going to give you my take, and we may not agree, but it's part of these conversations, you know. And then, like I always say, I don't really care what you believe in as long as you believe in black first, because that should be the main priority, you know, and especially with our children. And I'm probably going to have to do a part two on this Monday, because I feel like this next segment is going to probably take the rest of the show. I got like 30 minutes left. But I want to start touching on this, and may actually have to finish this segment as well Monday. But this is just a topic that I think, yeah, I'm going to do a part two just because we can't talk about saving our children enough. Mentally, you know, yeah, we do have to get them away from these gadgets. We've got to get them back on a thinking on an intellectual level. Right now, the Facebook, the Instagrams, the TikToks, and all the entertainment, you know, and they love to see us entertaining, and we're the main ones on there entertaining. And that's why I say mentally, like I said in the beginning, we have to unlearn, even starting with us, unlearn, relearn, and then we have to start learning how to relate to them mentally and connecting with them mentally. And I think that leads into the next portion, which is the spiritual aspect. And I'm going to give y'all my quick spiel, and then I'm going to let Sister Kia give her spiel. I think that we do need the spirituality is really what I live by. When I think of spirituality, that's just like we did in the beginning. We didn't have no religion. We all worked under the same accord, and we as a people just worshiped nature, the sun, the wind, the water, the food. We appreciated everything, not only appreciating it, replenishing it, not just constantly taking and taking and taking. And that is what keeps everything full circle. That is what keeps everything in sync, you know. And we're living in a time now where there's so, you know, just so much fakeness. And we've got these pulpit pimps, these shoe booty preachers who are out here preaching these selfish doctrines, who are not really concerned about the sake of the soul, the afterlife, not even really bothering themselves with guiding people correctly. And that, like I say, it just boils down to me and spirituality and how we should give it to our children, give it to them in truth. I believe in the word because, yeah, I believe that's our history, and I believe that's why white people work so hard to keep that book from us, because we figure out who we were, who we are, and who we connected to. Are we dangerous? That in itself makes us dangerous. That in ourself, I think, would change our whole mentality and appreciate one another and better than we do, and love one another in the correct way. And we wouldn't have as much violence in our youth. And then, too, like I say, we've got to give them just give them a sense of hope. And that's why I say it's essential that we connect our mind, our spirits, our bodies, and we have to be the examples. We have to, because this generation that we're dealing with now literally has the world at their fingertips, because everybody has a cell phone. Hell, I know these kids could not survive in our time. And like I say, these kids, we were generations that we had to listen, learn. We had to listen and learn and pay attention. These kids have, like I say, the world at their fingertips. They have, they can be here in the States but be overseas. And then, like the sister was saying, you know, they're exposed. And like Brother Mark even made that point, the exposure, the sensitization of, you know, being desensitized to the violence. Because, yeah, I remember the times when, yeah, you knew that was wasn't blood, it was ketchup. But now these movies look so real. I mean, it looks very realistic, you know. And it's the desensitization, excuse me, y'all, I'm tight-tongued, that has our – and then the music as well plays a part in that, because you hear kill, kill, kill. And all the other sexually explicit drug-related things, well, yeah, that kills the spirit, and that kills hope. And that's why I say, yeah, and like Sister Kia was saying, yeah, we're failing because we, and I say this a lot, we have got to give our kids back hope, and we have got to give them alternatives other than this army. You know, we've got to build businesses where we can keep them, where we can strictly gain control of our kids back. And that means discipline and all. And damn what the system says we can and can't do. Discipline never killed us. Discipline only made us what? Respect. And it made us mindful of who we were talking to and all the other out-of-line things that we did. We knew respect, and we respected our elders, and that's just, to me, part of spirituality and just being disciplined and people working on one accord, because all the requirement is for us to do is treat each other right and do the right thing. And on that, I'm going to yield, and I want to give Sister Kia a chance to give her take on the spiritual side, this connection, the energy, the vibe, that, you know, that what we feel, what we truly feel and connect with, because we vibe different than others. So, Sister Kim, I'm going to give you the mic, and then Brother Mark, and then Sister Queenie, and then Sister Kim.
Okay, I'm going to try to make this really quick. I'm trying to squeeze in a lot really quick. First, I want to say to everybody listening, spirituality is not to be confused with religion. So a lot of people go wrong for one. So I just need people to remember that. I don't have time to explain it, but research it. But when it comes to spirituality, that just to piggyback on what I was saying earlier, that's also a part of teaching our children who they are. We are the most spiritual beings to walk this earth. And I feel like that's because it starts with us, it ends with us. Upon creation, we were granted melanin. There are three different types of melanin. Euromelanin is a melanin is that, let's say, I'm trying to find a simple way to explain it. To me, white people have the least amount of that. That's that goes to the brain, okay? To me, that affects your thought process, your moral thinking. You know, it affects a lot of things. Say, research, if anybody cares to have time. And white people lack that. They have it, just not as much as we do. And I think that, I wouldn't even call it a problem. It's a blessing to have, and I wish everybody had it as much as we did, because to me, that I think that's why we are such a people of compassion. Yeah, we have our ways, you know what I mean? We will do some things, but
right. We
are probably the biggest forgivers, the biggest, you know what I mean? Despite of all what we see, for instance, a white person who has never had interaction in a negative interaction with a black person, but you still fear us. You still look at us as bad. But as black people, right. we know what your people are capable of, and we will still extend our hand and help you. Not saying all white people, and not saying all black people, because you have some black people that wouldn't spit on a white person if they won't fire. But as a whole, that's the type of people we are. You see somebody homeless begging for change, it's a white man, a white woman. Most likely, if you got it, you go throw it to them. When a white person even walk right past. You know what I'm saying? So I think,
yep.
like I said, even when I spiritual walk, that all becomes, that's all a part of spiritual and mental go hand in hand. If your spiritual thing is weak, your mental is going to be weak. When you're strong
exactly.
in spirit, you are strong mentally. So I don't know. I just think that, like I said, they go hand in hand. So really, to me, it's hard to separate one from the other. But teaching, I mean, you pull science. Like I said, that's a little, you have to pull science into it because without it, it's not fact. I always tell my nieces and nephews, they love the stars. Look at the stars. You know, I always explain to them, do you realize inside your DNA, you're sharing particles with the stars. All of this is you.
Mm-hmm.
All of this is you, so you need to embrace exactly. all of this. You need
exactly.
to embrace all of this. You see how great, how amazed you are when you look at that star? That's how I feel when I look at you. I feel just like that because that's what I'm looking at. So, you know,
that's
and
right.
like I say, start with me young, and no matter what somebody try to tell them, you're going to have things in life will make you question, you know, okay, if I am really this, but it's a heck of a lot easier when you have something to stand on. You know what I mean? It's hard
mm-hmm.
to tear down something that's already built,
that.
But it's hard to tear down a structure that's already there. You know what I mean? You can now
right.
replace that there in there. So, hey, I don't know. That pretty much sums it up for me.
I agree. I appreciate that. Yeah, that, and I do agree. Yeah, yeah, they do go hand in hand because, yeah, strong spirit, strong mind, strong spirit. You know, like the saying goes, mind over matter. You know, and I totally agree with everything you say. You know, I always appreciate what you bring to the table, Sister Kia. Always. If you're done, I'm going to let Brother Mark, if you have anything else you want to add.
You know, thank you. Thank you, Brother Melvin.
Okay, go ahead, Brother
Mark. I did want to, that was, I had to agree 100% with Queen Kia when she said that the mental and spirituality go hand in hand. No pun intended. excuse me. There's, you know, I was reminded what you were saying a minute ago, Melvin. I was reminded of a show that you did a couple of years ago, brother. When you did a show on the dissolving of the black family structure, and you outlined many of the points that we're fucking talking about now.
Right.
It's 2 years ago, and we've come and we've seen so much more death and propaganda, like Sister Q was just saying about you know, they're showing us, they're giving us examples every day, they're exposing us every day to our, you know, to our demise and our strife. And I'm going back to my point about us being so desensitized and disillusioned, and having no respect, no morals, no measures of ethics whatsoever. And that's all part of what the show that you did 2 years ago about the dissolving of the black family structure and everything that encompassed the everything from the fucking Willie Lynch to the other genocide to eugenics and Margaret Sanger and those crazy fucks. So and I also want to and I'll make this brief and I'll yield my time because I know the other queens want to add on and greatly appreciate time, brother. Again, what Sister Kim was just talking about. As far as our DNA and what we don't know that they know that they're so fearful of, and what costs over $500 a goddamn gram is our DNA. And what they and what we don't know as people is that, you know, our DNA is part of mm-hmm. the central nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
Central nervous system. You know, it's innate, if you will. And everything that encompasses the melanin. Melanin is part of the central nervous system. And again, over $600 a gram. And, and if you look at all these bodybuilders, all these white, you go over there to Norway, over in Oslo and Copenhagen, all those bodybuilders. I've been over there where these bodybuilders have. I mean, these white bodybuilders look like me, and I'm a light skinned cat, you know. But they bronze and cocoa because of the melanin injection. That's some real shit. And so the value, they know our value. And like you said earlier, you know, if we don't put a stop to this, we gonna be extinct. What do we need? And you asked a question earlier. I mean, Sister Queenie asked a question earlier when she said, "What's it gonna take? You know, when is this gonna stop? I'm tired of this." She said, "I can hear her fucking passion. She's tired of the pain. She's tired of seeing all the mothers crying, all the sisters crying, all the daughters crying, missing their daddies, missing their brothers. Tired of it too. What do we got? Do we need more Christopher Dorners? I remember you talked about him a few shows ago, brother. We need more Christopher Dorners to justify Ayanna Jones' killer, who's still on the damn Detroit police force from 2010, who threw a damn flash bomb grenade in her window as she was sleeping, 7 years old. We can go on all night. And I'm sorry for getting loud and being passionate about this, but I just wanted to invoke her name into this broadcast as well too, because she cannot be forgotten, nor can, you know, another child that was murdered by Chicago police, Laquan McDonald, you know, Rekia Boyd, you know, too many examples. You know, we don't have time. So I just wanted to invoke her name and remind everyone that, you know, it's been going on since the beginning of the time that they were bringing us over here, and they've been marginalizing us, minimizing and targeting us, and our children are the biggest targets. They are the most valued targets. And with that, I'll yield.
I appreciate that, Brother Mark, and yeah, I agree with how you close that, because I always say, you know, $1 million ain't nothing compared to your child. You know, $2, $3, $4 million, that's nothing. The most value we may have that child that comes up with the next $1 million idea. It's just who we are, you know. And yeah, I totally agree that we have got to put more value into our children and into ourselves collectively, because nobody values us, and sometimes we don't even value us. And that's just part of, you know, getting our children back mentally. And then once we can get them back mentally, everything else will fall in line. Okay, Sister Queenie, I'm going to give you the microphone. I got about, 10 minutes. Well,
okay,
10
I'm going to make
left.
It real short. Okay, let me make it real short. Thank you, Sister Kia. Thank you, brother. But, yes, I agree with Sister Kia. Spirituality and religion is different, and we are definitely on the spirituality, been on that road for quite a long time, because they gave us religion and took away our spirituality. But being connected to the mother, father, earth, and the great son of the universe, yeah, we got to get ourselves back, and we got to teach our children and everybody else about that. And in reference to what the brother said as well, I agree with everything he just said. So, again, I'm not going to hold too long because I know we got to go. But next time, maybe we can pick this conversation up and go a little bit deeper, because Like I told my other sisters, we are the gold. We are the gold. All this gold, they got bought up in whatever that place is. Honey, we the gold. We the gold. And we the gold of the soul that they looking for to keep them going. So I'm going to say that much, and so we gonna, I'm going to leave it right there because I can go on and on about that, but that's going to be a subject for another day. But, yeah, we are the gold. We are the current that is keeping them going, and we got to take away our current and shut this mess down. Like, it's on its way out, but we got to go ahead and shut it down, period. And we'll talk about the rest of it later. Okay. I'm through, y'all, because y'all know
our
I'm
blood
passionate.
Is their gold.
I agree.
Yeah, our blood is their gold. That's right, baby. That's what I mean. That's exactly what I mean, brother. You know what I mean?
I like that because, yeah, we are the prize. We are all that everybody wants to be but don't want the experience.
Exactly.
Just
that's right.
Give you a few minutes to make your closing remark, and I'm going to make my closing remarks after you're done.
Well, I just want to say that I think we are showing our spirituality, really just being on here with this conversation tonight. We are some of the most spiritual. I'm not going to say some. We are the most spiritual people, just
there
like
you go. There you go.
And the thing is that the only thing I could even say to add to that is we need to wear our spirituality and our physical in our physical body at the same time, because we have been taught to separate everything. Everything is so separated. Mm-hmm. We separate spiritual, mm-hmm. we separate the physical. Whereas if we know that our physical is our spiritual, we will actually see ourselves differently. I mean, what's in us is what's in the universe. What's in mm-hmm. our melanin and new melanin, you will find that in outer space. All these minerals, when Sister Queenie said we are the gold, we are. We truly are the gold, and they know that. And, yeah, they are trying to make us extinct, but they can't make us gone because without us,
never.
They can't exist. And they know that.
Never.
And that is why. Right, and that is why, brother, you were seeing the weightlifters that's looking cocoa, because they know that they can't live without us. Now, what they want to do is control us, you know, and get us to, I guess, a manageable number in order for them to control us. I think that's their goal. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I'm just saying we are who we are.
Guidestones. They have that in the Georgia Guidestone. They got that written in stone about having only 150,000 people living, and the rest is going to be
mm-hmm.
android.
Mm-hmm.
The rest
mm-hmm.
is going to be
now, ain't
android
crazy?
Serving
they
the wealthy. Yes.
No, man,
now, ain't
no,
that crazy?
That's not happening.
And you know,
that's
and
like,
you know, sister, you were talking about what you said that we are the gold. You're absolutely right. But I think yeah, we do have gold in our heart. Naturally, we got gold in our heart. But the gold that I think you really mean is our blood is their fucking gold.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that is exactly what we're saying. We are the gold.
Because
yeah.
they're blood
we're talking
suckers.
About
they're
that. Like, yeah.
blood suckers, and they feed off of us.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. You can say that again.
That,
and, y'all,
that's
I just want
to
say this.
That's what to stop.
That's fixing to stop. And this is such a
right
beautiful
now.
Show, and
right
I hope
now.
That we can continue it. I'm just going to say that. And that's
most
all I'm
definitely.
Going to say. Thank you, Brother Melvin.
All
and
right.
Thank you, Brother.
Thank you. Thank
is it
you.
Captain?
What's Brother
I'm
name,
sorry,
Melvin,
I...
that we don't know?
Mark. That's Brother Mark.
Mark.
Thank you, Brother Mark.
Okay.
And Sister Kia.
Brother Mark, Sister Kia. It's so
thank
good
you.
To meet you.
Queens.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you
all right.
very much.
I hope to hear y'all when Melvin comes on over to the NTMS app. Hello?
Oh, shit. They'll be on board.
They'll be on board.
Most
okay.
definitely.
Yeah.
I've got a few minutes left, and I just want to give a closing commentary on this particular show. And, yeah, I'll be doing part two so that we can further cover, because I've got a lot more that I want to bring to the table as far as this discussion goes, and then I want to complete the topic as well and talk about the physical aspect of this weaponization. So I will definitely be bringing this back to the table on my Monday show. And I want to somebody, can you mute your phone, please? Oh. And I appreciate everybody's input tonight, Sister Kia, Brother Mark, Sister Queenie, Sister Kim. I appreciate you all calling in. This is really just a subject that I'm really big on. I'm big on family, and I think that we as a whole are big on family and values, because so many of us didn't have complete families. You know, some of us, the father was missing, some the mother was missing, you know. So I really wanted to touch on this, because it's about giving our children the integrity. It's about giving our children the proper morals and values. And we are connected to them, whether they're ours biologically or not. They need us. We, going to throw this in, need each other. I haven't said it the whole show, but that's my point. I want us to recognize our need, and not only our need for one another as adults, because we need one another as adults to lean on. And when we can get stronger mentally, and then our children can lean on us, and not only lean on us, they'll be able to feel us without us even touching them. We are a well-connected people. We just have had that connection interrupted. And it's time for us to reestablish, put it on some, we need to, what we need to do is put it on some
speak
new
me.
Hard drive. We need to put it on on a new program, and we need to keep it harnessed for ourselves. See, everything we do multiplies. Everything that we do is mastery at its best. We don't half-ass do nothing. And when we start to apply our minds to the job and the task at hand, and start to unlearn who they have told us we were, and truly learn who we are, we've got to pass that truth and knowledge. And see, that gives a child hope. That gives a child a chance to dream, and then have aspirations to do more than the last generation. Because, see, I agree with what Sister Kia said earlier. It's up to us. And right now, at this particular juncture, we are failing. We are allowing this system to control the minds. And when you control the mind, that's the strongest next to the heart. You know, when you can control the mind, and we've had so many of our ancestors and so many of our peers who have been under a mental anguish, which makes it so much easier to become physically anguished. And it's necessary that we give them back knowledge of self, respect the woman, respect the black man, respect the black child. And we have got to get discipline back in the picture. We basically, what I'm going to say, and then I'm going to close this out. What we need to do is focus on us. Stop being ashamed to put us first. Don't let nobody shame you out of loving you. And we need to, like I say, put ourselves back at the forefront, because if we don't take the time to fix us, ain't nobody else putting no time or no effort into fixing us either. So it's about self-love and like I say, giving our kids not an arrogant mentality, but giving what they are, because they are a superior being. We all are superior beings. So with that being said, I want to thank all my listeners overseas, like I said in the beginning, Philippines, Nigeria, Germany, Canada, and Ireland, all the places. I appreciate it, because I don't do this for likes. I don't do this for attention. I do this because people need to know, and we need to start working together collectively to rebuild a system that works for everybody and not just certain people. So I want to thank those listeners. Thank all my listeners who called in. Of course, Brother Mark, Sister Queenie, Sister Kia, Sister Kim. Thanks for helping me keep the dialogue. And, yes, I definitely will be doing a part two to this show on Monday at 7 p.m. I want to thank my listeners on Activate Radio, activatemedia.org, out of Boston, Massachusetts, where they get the replay of the show. Hey, I love y'all. And like I say, we can all do this if we do it together. And it's going to take all of us to do it. All of us. Like I always say in closing, let's plan, let's organize, let's unify. Because we all have a key. And we need each other out here. I'm out until Monday, 7 p.m. We'll be doing part two of the need to weaponize our children. And we'll be talking about the physical aspect. And I've got a lot to say about that, a whole lot. So tune in Monday. I appreciate y'all. Much love. And I'm out.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big
policy. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Clan used to rally downtown in my city. And you wonder why the race relationship's so shitty? Show no pity. That's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city. It's all over the TV. Martin Luther King. I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit. But the time and show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame. And never take no wooden nickels when they all change. I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see
the big picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip.
You know the one that bought the Tech 9 and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip. I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches. But why you in the club with them trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick. But it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Bree told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunt. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, 'cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, 'cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.